morning with you, and the two messages for the day are related material, speaking on the Holy Spirit. Now, of course, this afternoon I suppose it's last Sunday afternoon. Some of you will depart after this service, and so you won't be here for the afternoon service. So I want to tell you how much I appreciate being here with you all. And I think this is one of the best groups in America. There's no doubt in my mind. Among the best groups to preach to. One that's really receptive to the Word. Quite a few of you here, and we're all strange to each other. At least you're strange to me, and I'm strange to you. But I believe certainly that as time went on, we got used to each other, it would be easier and easier to preach, and easier to bring out some things that sometimes are a little hard to bring out. If you've never tried to teach yourself, I guess most of us have tried to teach something or other in our lives. We know that many times what is clear to us at one time is not clear the next time. You can say something that's very clear one time, and you try to explain it the next time, you sort of lost that ability. Well, I guess that's what you call that anointing for a special moment. But I've certainly enjoyed teaching here, and hope that not too distant future that may be able to come back together again. I certainly appreciate being with your pastor. It's always nice to find a like-minded pastor. Kind of get you nervous when you're in a church where you know the pastor has some thoughts that vary greatly from yours. But although we haven't had time to have an exchange of all of our thoughts, it's been very nice to find that he's very like-minded. Now, if he wasn't like-minded, I wouldn't hold that against him. Some of my best friends are much different from me in what they believe Brother Branham taught. And they're some of my best friends. I love them very sincerely. But you just can't help being a little more favoring toward those who are like-minded. I mean, after all, that's just natural to enjoy the company of those that think much like you. It's been a real pleasure to be with Brother and Sister Gunther here. And I'm happy to hear of your outreach in this area. You've got a lot of fine men here. A lot of fine young men. Maybe God didn't call any of them to preach the gospel. I hope he has, but I've got the least idea what God is doing to the people here. I saw Brother Dave Cook the other day, he was talking to me about a nice little work starting in Manitoba. And there's no shepherd there. I think it'd be wise if you prayed about it. I don't know if God will burden anybody to go from here. I don't know. I'm not inclined to believe that the church is like a chicken that sort of keeps all the eggs here, and one of the little eggs hatching out won't get away. The old mother pastor says, "Cluck, cluck, come on back. I want to sit on you." Now, that's not the spirit here. And I'm glad. Maybe that somebody will be called the Lord to help out in these places. I certainly hope so. There's a tremendous dearth in the land for people who would teach this message. And it's strange because this is the first time in almost 2,000 years we have something we can stand on. We know where we stand. And to me it's a little ridiculous now to not send it out wherever we can take it and publish it afar. And so that's good. It's good to know that you're trying to get in the prison. That's fine. I never was much for getting into prisons. I'm glad I stayed out of them.
You know, I was afraid, I guess, if I got in, I might not get out. They might find out about me. And I guess I should have been there instead of some folks. And remember years ago, I went with a friend of mine in Connecticut, I guess it was, and it was all right, but I wasn't too happy there. And then I went another town, and that wasn't too good, but the Lord let me get out into California not too long ago, because some boys out there got the message. I don't know how they got it, but that was wonderful. Somebody sent it. They sent the little books out because they couldn't have recorders. And I don't know who sent that original message there, but that person sowed the original seed that opened the door to the prison. Because if the message hadn't gotten there, they wouldn't have written. They wrote around to quite a few folk and couldn't get an answer till they wrote me and care brother Billy Paul. And of course, I thought it'd be nice to answer their questions, and it wasn't long till I was able to go out there and meet with them. And the Lord opened the door. You know, not being an ordained pastor, I had the same trouble that Brother Gunther has. He can't get in the prison down here. Wherever down, I can shake my head in the wrong direction, don't pay any attention. I only two directions up and down. Sometimes I get confused about those. So, they didn't want me to come in, but I felt the Lord had told me to fly out there and see those boys. And so I said, well, sir, it's all right. If I can't come in, I appreciate it. You've got your laws to go by. And he said, well, just a minute now. He said, how far have you come? Well, I said, I came from Ohio. He said, well, my, he said, at least you can come as a visitor. Well, I said, that's fine. I'll be glad to come as a visitor. Well, he said, maybe you can see two of the boys. Well, I said, that's wonderful. Whatever you want to do, I appreciate it. He said, well, he said, you come out tomorrow morning and we'll see what will happen. So I got out there and I got there. They put me through the little door to see if I got any armaments on me. I had my Bible. That didn't seem to register as versus the law of the land. So they let me in, and he said, tell you what, he said, eight of these fellows want to see you. So he said, what we've arranged is the chaplain to sit with you while you talk to them, and you can see all eight. Well, I said, praise the Lord, that's great. I come from 2 to 8, I can see them all. And I thought, well, that's all right if the pastor sits with me, the chaplain, that's all right. And maybe he will be a good friend of mine, and we'll exchange views. And so he introduced me to the chaplain, and the chaplain made a very outstanding comment. Sort of. You'll get the drift of it because you know how some people believe in this message. He said, I don't understand why it is that those boys, he said, they're the finest boys in the prison. He said, how they don't come and worship with us. He said, you don't have anything against them coming to you, what you believe. I said, no. On the contrary, we believe as having been taught by the man that we believe is the prophet of God, that you're absolutely supposed to come together on Sunday to commemorate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, well, see if you can do something with them. We like him in the service. So when I got there, we talked about a half an hour, and suddenly the chaplain, and I think it might have been a cigarette calling, he looked at me and he said, I got to go now. And I'll be back. He never did get back. I was there all day, and so all the questions they could ask confidentially were brought up, and we had a great time. And so I said, why don't you boys go to church? Well, they said, we don't believe in mixing with that worldly crowd. We don't get anything for our soul. Well, I said, you ever hear of this man called Praying Hyde? He was deaf, and he used to thank God he couldn't hear, then he prayed for the preacher. And wherever he went, the people got blessed. I said, why don't you just go there and close your ears and pray for the people? Why don't you just get in there and maybe you'll have a witness one of these days that'll pay off. So I said, Brother Branham said to go. Said he didn't, if you had no other church to go to than just that one church that even said Jesus is Savior, thank God they said he's Savior. If they said he's healer, they thank God twice as much you got a healer now. If he says he baptized the Holy Ghost, thank God three times as much, because now you got to baptize it. I said, just go on there. So they said, all right, we'll obey what the prophet said. Well, they went, and pretty soon I got a letter. The letter said, well, we thank God we learned that obedience is the secret of getting ahead with the Lord. They went to that service, and from that time on, the chaplain gave them tapes, gave them a room to hear those tapes. I was invited back to bring the film, which I couldn't do with your friend, Brother Erickson, you know him, took the film down. I've been invited back to preach to the people, and then since that time, of course, others have gone in. I've been the Brother Erickson, Brother Perry, and different ones have the door open. So you can see that somebody sent a little magazine. That's the person that started the whole thing. That's the person. That's the one that did the sewing. Anybody else came along, a little sprinkling, can of sprinkling. But so you see, if you send a magazine, or you got a witness, or you have anything at all, this is what is very good to do at this time. Because remember, always the people live in the glare. There's only the bride that lives in the light. The bride never lives in the glare. This is what Brother Branham taught us. In the Lutheran age, the bride lived in the light. Then, of course, the light began to fade. The creeds and dogmas came in. And what happened? The people walked in the glare, and God raised up the Wesleyans, and they in turn walked in the light. And now the Wesleyans walk in the glare, because God raised up Pentecost, and they turned it down. Then came the prophet with the full understanding of restoration, because God does everything in force. Justification, sanctification, baptism with the Holy Ghost, right back to restoration. So now the Pentecostals live in the glare. And when the bride is gone, because the bride will be taken from the people who believe the end time message. Now that sure doesn't sound like we've got much faith in anybody else. But honestly, I don't. Father, we ain't nobody going part-time, is there? Pardon my language, I just do that to let you know that mean that dogmatically. There isn't anybody going. If this bride doesn't make it, why? Because we're walking in the light of the Word. Now, right after the bride is gone, the people will walk in the glare. Because they're going to say, what happened here? What's wrong? This is the great tribulation. We should be out of it. We should be gone. And then they'll say, well, now, all these people taught us wrong. But wasn't there a little fella everybody looked down upon called William Branham? Wasn't there a group that said this would happen? Then get a hold of what they said. It'll be too late. But it won't be too late for the white throne judgment. And multitudes will come up in the second resurrection, and they will go into eternal life in order to bring their glory into the holy city, which is the bride. I'm not saying the bride's the city, but what in the world is building without people? Like the old motto on the wall, what is home without mother? Well, what is home without people? It's just a shed. It isn't a thing. See? Well, the city, the bride constitutes the city, and what it is, the Lord just gives her some real pretty place to live in. And they'll bring their glory in, along with multitudes of others, and those elect of Israel, the souls under the altar. So therefore, the word of the Lord must go forth. It must always go forth. There must not be any slacking. I don't know if you've got that tape here or not, but Brother Branham one day talked to all the men in the church, a special men's meeting, and he said, where are the people that should be taking out this message? He said, where are you? And he complimented Brother Matson Bozay for taking this message to Africa, where the people could hear the word of the Lord. Now, why did he compliment him? A Trinitarian who is absolutely against the Word as we know it today and can prove it by the Scripture and know it's proven by a vindicated ministry that nobody else had. That God said, when I send you a thus saith the Lord prophet, you fear him, you will listen to him. Now that's the Word of God. Now anybody can argue any way you want. If you turn that Word down, you turn down the last gleam of light you'll ever receive. You're going to walk in darkness from now on. He complimented that man. See? Today that man, I've got a letter to prove, absolutely despises what Brother Branham taught. Now, don't tell me I'm wrong, or I'll bring that letter to you. I know where these men stand, yet he highly complimented him because he was taking the word out. Why? Because in the second resurrection, millions will enter into eternal life, and eternal life is not the millennium. Otherwise, you have been guilty of committing Jesus Christ to a matter of geography instead of a person. Eternal life is not geography. Eternal life is not a span of a time. It is a person, the Holy Spirit. So we have a bounden duty to take this word out. And remember in Revelation 10, where it says, you must stand before kings and before nations and princes, that is the word of God. And this word will go forth. May you have a dynamic ministry of a missionary zeal and enterprise amongst you. May you not fail where so many people fail today. I have a great sore of heart and sometimes such deep indignation as to almost want to engage in a down and out fight over the very fact that the people who claim to believe this message are sitting on it. They take the tithes and offerings and sit on it. And they don't see that this word goes out. Somebody is going to be to blame. Don't ever become complacent. Don't you ever think of taking your armor off until God takes it off. In fact, some haven't even strapped it on. I say that to their sorrow. I just don't understand. Brother, sister, when you go down the road as often as I know men like Brother Len and I have done trying to take this word up, because I know we've gone to more far-flung places perhaps than anybody here, and I know Brother Lazar the same way, going to mission fields where there's nothing there at all. You walk down that road not knowing where you're going and really nothing to get you there, and you see God do it. You just begin to wonder what this is all about. If people can't take up that challenge. I've never missed a meal. As I look back in my life, I don't know why God has been so good. I've been a rebellious child, but he's never let me down. I've hated to go preaching. Brother Branham said, and it's true, if you're called, you won't want to do it. But something will make you do it. And in spite of your rebellion, God will take you through all the way. Now, I say that to people's shame, not to my own. You say, Brother Ben, you stay rebellious? Listen, I might have been rebellious and did it. There's a lot of guys wouldn't do it in any consideration. A father had two servants. He was a farmer. He said, go out in the field and work. I'm tired. And one kid said, I'll do it, and didn't do it. The other kid said, I won't do it, and turn around and did it. I'm not trying to make myself look good, because I'd have to have a face lifting and a heart lifting for other things too. I'm just trying to tell you the truth, and I don't know any way to put it across except, as Paul said, we got to talk about ourselves to make it come across. See? So, don't ever become complacent. Stand up for this truth. Not to be fighters, no. But give the reason of your hope. See? And brother, that reason is a strong, powerful word that after we get that word hope from in the Bible, it's really a reason. See, and he puts the two together. In other words, you bring forth the word of God. Well, I'm not going to try to finish my message this morning. I'm going to start in a minute now in 1 hour, but you'll have to eat quicker. Now, you're going to have to be like me. I eat like a dog. I eat a lot, and in big gulps, and fast. And so, you sheep this morning, we'll give you sheep food, and we'll take our time. Right. And dinner time comes, sorry. You know, you're not going to expect you to act like sheep. You just hurry it up. We'll come on back for the afternoon service, because the next message, I think, will be more enlightening even this morning. Now, this morning's message, I want you to just do your best to believe it. There are points here you might not understand. Don't worry about it. Just take it. You'll stumble at some of the things said. You won't stumble hard, but your stumbling will be in the fact you might not clearly see it, and you'll want something other than what God's Word says. Now, don't be guilty of that. See, you may be sincere and sweet, and I'm not doubting anybody here this morning. I don't believe there's a hypocritical or a pharisaical spirit in the building. I'm not saying that. But remember, Israel made its mistake the same way, because they just couldn't turn their minds free to say what was the vindicated word of the hour. Now, the Holy Spirit's been loose for the first time in 2,000 years from his creeds and dogmas. So listen to what he said, believe it, and God will show it to you. I got so deeply steeped before Brother Branham passed away, or before the seals came, in the wrong doctrine of the bride going through the tribulation. I was so absolutely sold on it, I had page after page of notes, and I know that I could defeat any argument brought forth by a fundamentalist on his teaching. And I know that without a revelation, it's really impossible to believe in a rapture the way Brother Branham taught. You have to have revelation. After the seals, I went to him and I sat and I said, Brother Branham, I want you to explain this to me. The more he explained, the more I threw scripture back at him. And the more he explained that scripture, the rougher it got, until I could see that he wasn't getting anywhere, and I knew I wasn't getting anywhere. And I knew he was looking a little hurt. Now, I did something which is not unforgivable, but it was kind of rude, but I couldn't help myself. I had to do it. I said, Brother Branham, will you answer me one more question? He said, what is it, Brother Bale? I said, is it thus saith the Lord, there is a rapture before the tribulation? He said, it is thus saith the Lord. I said, thank you. You have said it. I know it is true. I will find it because I believe it. Brother, sister, God opened that thing up like 14 feet high billboard. You've got to believe it. I don't care what you think. I don't care what you feel. I don't care what you build upon. I don't care if you think your life depends on it. Cut it off. And build absolutely fresh. Now that sounds pretty rough, but I didn't write the book. I don't even do too good a job preaching. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come now with the merging of our minds with thy great mind, who is the Holy Spirit, Word revealed entity amongst us. Now, Father, I pray that every word that will be said will be thy word and accepted by the people as such in this solemn hour. And no matter what it costs us as to our feelings, as to anything else, we will know that it is the truth and simply wait on you for the reality of it to come into existence within these mortal frames of ours to the glory of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. The message this morning is on the promise of the Spirit. The promise of the Holy Spirit, and the text is found in the second chapter of Acts, verses 38 to 39, which we already know. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Not remitting your sins by water, but because of remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now, if any one subject in the Bible needs to be understood, it is that one concerning the true infilling of the Holy Spirit. It is not understood by many people, yet it should be. And I'd hesitate to speak this morning upon it, except William Branham, a vindicated prophet, has spoken many, many times upon this very subject. Now, the major reason the truth about the Holy Spirit indwelling man is so obscured is because men go by their own personal experiences instead of the Word of Almighty God. These men start with whatever spiritual experience they receive or have observed in others. They start with those experiences, either those which they have had themselves or which they have seen in others, and then they adapt the Word of God to it, and then they form their doctrine, which is an error. Now let us get this by Scripture to see exactly how men and women can go astray by spiritual experiences that come unto them that are genuine, but they, building their own ideas upon these experiences, go contrary to the Word of God. Now, let's turn to 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, verses 29 to 38. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. For you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted them to speak, but they are commanded to be under the law, in obedience, as also set the law. And if they will learn, it doesn't say if they will teach, it says if they will learn, because the woman can't teach. If they'll learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. For it is a shame for women to speak in the church. Now listen, what? Came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Now here are people who are claimed to be spiritually filled. I won't argue the point. They claim they have got the baptism with the Holy Ghost. I will not argue that point. As far as I know, this is correct. But here they are in a meeting where everybody is speaking in tongues, where everybody is in disorder. It is a disorderly meeting. Something is going on here that's wrong. And the Bible distinctly teaches that God is not the author of confusion, but they have made it a place of confusion. Now listen, what has happened? That happened there what happened in modern day Pentecost. They found out they could all speak in tongues. They found out all of them, and it all felt good. They got an edification out of it. They got a blessing out of it. It was wonderful. It was uplifting. And they enjoyed it, see? And so and they said everybody can talk in tongues anytime they want to do it. Now you've heard what modern day Pentecostal people say. They say this concerning tongues. There's about three kinds of tongues. There's the tongues whereby you speak in as initial evidence and you will never speak again maybe. Then there is the gift of tongues whereby that you can speak two kinds. One is wherein you will speak in tongues of praying, and therefore you can all pray together at one time. Then there's the other kind of tongues that you can get up in, and you give a message, and it's interpreted. Now, you can't find one bit of Bible for any of those three. Yet it is taught. Why? Because people receive genuine manifestation in the Holy Ghost. There were genuine gifts of the Spirit of God in absolute disarray and disorder, but they were real. Then they began to build their doctrine upon it. And they said, well, look at here, we're doing it. It's got to be right. Why? Because you're doing it? Yes. Well, who made you the authority? Paul said, listen to me. If any man spiritual, let alone a prophet, he said, you'll admit that what I say is a commandment of God. Call a separate meeting. And everybody shut up. That was Lee Bale, not Paul. But he meant the same thing. But one of them. One at a time, up until three, can give message in tongues. Now that's the Word of God. But people don't believe it to be the Word of God. They make up their own rules and ideas. And they say, listen, that's the genuine Holy Ghost demonstration, manifestation, the right way to do it, because we're doing it. We haven't been stopped by God. And I'll tell you one thing, if God wanted to stop, He'd stop it. Alright? Let's take another example. Let's go to Matthew, the 7th chapter. And if the first one was a little bit tame, let's get the one that's tough. 21 to 23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Now listen. Prophecy is the will of God because God said, forbid not to prophesy. He said, covet to prophesy. Yet these men are accused of not doing the will of God right here, and they're doing the very thing God said to do. Is that right? Right. Have we not cast out devils in thy name, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then he will say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Here are absolutely genuine, manifested evidence of the Holy Spirit that have been done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and God calls it a work of iniquity. That's right. God calls it a work of iniquity. And he turns the people that did it into the lake of fire under the strict of condemnation. Now, these people defend themselves by their experiences. They say, Lord, have we not cast out devils in thy name? Have we not done wonderful works in thy name? He said, that is correct. Then they say, then we must be all right, because we could not do these works, the Holy Ghost did them. And if they are genuine manifestations, then we must be allowed in. He says, depart from me, you work iniquity. See, they built upon their experience and the attempt to prove their justification by their experience. Is this correct? Now let's watch it. All right. We go to the deeper one still. Matthew 24. For there shall arise false Christ, even lying prophets. The same thing. And shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Herein we have genuine manifestation again, but blind leading the blind, and they both fall into the ditch, because the genuine manifestations are fooling everyone but the very elect of God. Now take all three of these cases. All three cases. There is not one time that the manifestation is said to be false. There is not one time it is not said to be of the Holy Ghost. The experiences are genuine, yet something is wrong. See? Can the Spirit of God be guilty of leading men into sin? Now let's listen. Can the Spirit of God be guilty of leading these men into sin? Because he called them workers of iniquity, and the work that they did, though it was of the Holy Ghost, was iniquitous work. How can a man be wrong if the Spirit of God is with him doing these great things? How can he be wrong? Now, this is exactly what we must labor to see. Sometimes we've got to struggle to see it. The experiences that people receive in the realm of the Spirit are entirely misunderstood many times. But because they are genuinely of the Spirit, they're really of the Spirit, see, the Word of God then is twisted to suit the experience. They teach from spiritual experience instead of the Word of Almighty God. Now, this doesn't sound serious to some people, but it's desperately serious. Then a whole erroneous dogma is built up. Can you call these truly Spirit-filled people when this happens? Would you believe that these people are full of the Holy Ghost if this can happen? It's impossible. It could not be so. Can one be out of divine order and be really filled with the Holy Ghost? Are you reading between the lines? You better be. What about Question and Answers 1964, and Brother Branham brought this very same thing up? When he brought up church order, you can go from the doctrine of the devil so fast from this very point we stand this morning to stun you, because there's only a bare thread line between this and devil power. Just a shadow. We can't afford to bypass the word living God as brought to us by the prophet William Branham, was vindicated with "Thus saith the Lord," when he, in the unveiling of the mighty God, put church order right with the seven seals, because they are. And don't you forget it. Marriage and divorce is part of those seven seals. It's exactly why God took him back to Arizona and kept taking him back until the revelation came. And then when the revelation came, the pillar of fire descended, and the black cloud descended as it was on Mount Sinai, proving that William Branham was a giver of the law of Almighty God, speaking mouth to ear and lip to ear. Amen. I got no vindication, but I walked with the man who had it. You can't build by spiritual experience. Looking at these three examples again. The supernatural by the Spirit has been manifested, and yet God brands some of them who are manifesting as false because of the manifestation. Now listen, I'm reading my notes, I've got you. Because of the manifestation, the manifestors, those doing the manifestation, and most of the onlookers seeing the manifestation, claim the reality of a Holy Ghost baptism, and because of those great things, for those who are manifesting that thing. You hear what I said? You understand me? All right. But if the people doing those things, or those works, are truly filled with the Holy Ghost, they cannot be rejected. In Matthew 7, according to what it says in Ephesians 4:30, 2 Corinthians 5, and 1-5. Let's read it. Now we're not going to be interested in one thing in experience this morning. I don't care 2 cents for yours, and you don't care 2 cents for mine. And this is thus saith the Lord. All right. Verse 30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Right? 2 Corinthians 5. Let's read it. We won't have to read it all, because you can read it yourself in those other verses 1-5. Now listen. Now he that hath wrought it, well, I better read it so you wouldn't make sense. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we die. We have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal to heaven. Now, whoever taught that, William Branham? For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so, that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that wrought for the self same thing is God, who has given us the earnest of his Spirit. It tells you right here that God has reserved you by the Holy Ghost so that you cannot be lost, and guarantees you'll come in that first resurrection and be a part of him. All right. How then can you possibly that these people in Matthew 7 have the Holy Ghost? They cannot have had the Holy Ghost. Oh, says my Pentecostal doctrinaire friend, we believe that these people once had the Holy Ghost, but they backslid and got unfilled, and now they're lost. All right, you believe that? Let's find out if you've got any grounds to believe it. in John 10, verses 27 to 29. And I give unto them eternal life, which is the Holy Ghost, and they shall never, never perish. It's always the double negative in the Greek, and sometimes the triple. It is either never, never, or never, never, never. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man, none, is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. You cannot take Scripture and make Scripture fight Scripture. You cannot cross Scripture. You've got to admit this morning there's such a thing as having genuine gifts of the Holy Ghost in absolute manifestation, and yet you'll go to hell as a blasphemer against God. Now, that's what the Word of God says. You can see what happens if we want to make experience the criterion instead of the Word. You don't know where you're going. You don't know where you're going. Because you've got 1,000 experiences, and you've got to adapt the Word of God to it. You're going to have 1,000 dog fights over the Word. See? Now, listen closely. Since it can be shown that people manifesting genuine signs and wonders by the Spirit can themselves be lost.
Let's watch this.
They can be lost. How much of, if any, of the Spirit do these people have who don't even manifest any signs
of the supernatural? Oh, how smug some people get over the Scripture.
They say, well, now look it. You can talk in tongues. You can dance with spirits. You can raise the dead. You can have miracles. And that's no sign of the Holy Ghost baptism, because Matthew 7 says that they'll go into everlasting destruction. What about you people that haven't got any signs or wonders? What about your dead churches that think God is in a little hat that's round and black and garments made out of denim? Huh? Where are these people that go by dress? Where was God before you got your dress if you condemned to hell everybody else before you and because they didn't wear that kind of a dress? You go to your miserable church creeds and dogmas and try to deny, like the Church of Christ, the power of Almighty God. I want to tell you this. If signs and wonders, there's no evidence of Holy Ghost baptism, and yet they've got signs and wonders proving the Holy Ghost is somewhere there, what about the folks that haven't got any signs? Where does it put you? You got a list. Because God said in His Word, according to Mark 16, now let's read it. When you believe unto eternal life, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be condemned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's what God said. Let's go to Hebrews, the first chapter. Second chapter. All right, beginning at verse 1. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip. For if the word of God spoken by angels or messengers was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing those witnesses, both with signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to His own will. Now, where does it put the folks who don't believe in signs and wonders? You see, many people got very, very wondering about Brother Branham. He kept saying to all these denominations that didn't have signs and wonders, he said, you've turned on tongues. He said, you turned down that. He said, you turned down prophecy. You turned down all these things. He said, you're wrong. It made the Pentecostals very happy to think then that they had it their right. But he said, you're wrong also. Now where are those denominations? They don't have a sign. They don't pray for the sick. They don't believe God like God says. See? But there's a group without it, and there's a group with it, and they're both wrong.
That's what the scripture teaches.
Now, we must not be surprised at this, because I want you to notice I taught you the other night, and you cannot deny what I taught you being correct from the book of Acts, the second chapter. When the Holy Ghost fell on the day of Pentecost, they came to Peter and said, what is this anyway? And Peter said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. The very baptism of the Holy Ghost, the very Spirit of God in that day that fell, the genuine Holy Ghost came down. And Peter said, this is the Holy Ghost himself. And he said, listen, this thing that you see today is going to come in the last day. And here's where everybody gets fooled. They don't project this to the last day. And they don't read what God said by his holy anointed prophet Peter. And here's what Peter says, repeating Joel by the Holy Ghost. In the very last day, that's your day and mine, Laodicea, God said, I will pour my spirit upon A-double-L flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants, men servants, and on my women servants, I'll pour in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. It tells you right here, there are two groups of people, those that are of God and those that are not of God. So therefore, in Matthew 7, it's correct when he said there'll be signs and wonders that are genuine by the Holy Ghost, and he'll say, I never knew you, because you never were one of mine. Is that clear? I don't see anybody prove it wrong. You can't do it, right. See? We do not go by experience to learn the truth. We must not be fooled by experience. It does not teach us the truth. Today I'm just learning what I said 30 years ago as a young preacher. The world says experience is the best teacher. I said that's wrong. It can teach you good and bad. The Holy Ghost is the only teacher. Today I'm just learning what I said 30 years ago, over 30 years ago. See, proving if you're seen, you got to come down that line. Now, how true this is. For we see in the Bible that God gives us the experience in the Word and corrects that experience. If it's wrong, he corrects it in the Word, by the Word. Because you can't go by experience. Let's turn to Genesis, the second chapter, and verse 9. Beginning at verse 9. And the Lord, out of the ground, the Lord God made you every tree that is pleasant to the sight, and good for food, and the tree of life also amidst the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Verse 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. In the day you eat thereof, dying, thou shalt surely die. Now in the third chapter, 6 and 7, when the woman saw the tree was good for food, notice she looked at it, experience right there. Experience by observation coupled with reason. Why? She said, that's right. See? Pleasant the eye. Desire to make one wise. She took the fruit, gave her husband, they ate. They were naked, they died. Experience. If they'd have stuck with the Word of God, my brother, my sister, and waited for God to give them proper experience according to His Word, they'd have made out. But when she went by experience, she did exactly what 20th century Pentecost is doing. Well, they said, how can it be wrong? It's the Holy Ghost, isn't it? Well, yeah. It's the Bible, isn't it? Yeah. We're not sinning as though we're out robbing a bank. Nope. Well, I want to tell you, I sure get sent by coming a lot of folk and we all talk in tongues.
That's right. Never said you didn't. You're still wrong. Because you're out of order. You're not by the Word of God. Because the Word of God said in the very beginning, watch out, because it's the perversion and twisting of my Word to get experience thereby, you'll lose out with God. Line up your experience with the Word. Because that's what this whole book is about. Where men got off the Word, and then God had to take them back by the Word, they always had to line up their experience. Just like that time when Israel was in such deep shame. When Nehemiah and Ezra went back to build up the temple, you know, build up the land again. They had the priesthood so mixed up with sinful women, they had to kick a whole lot of them out. They had to go right back to the Word to put the priesthood in order. God wouldn't move until they did. God correcting the people there of their experience by the Word. Now we understand this, right? Now then, because we understand this, that this happened, and people do not really have the Holy Ghost in spite of manifestation that they've got, there's a possibility, a very great possibility, that they're not truly baptized with the Holy Ghost. If they were, they would receive the correction of the Word, as Paul said, what came the Word of God unto you? Or came it out of you? And I said, if you're spiritual, and you've got a genuine, absolute ministry, a gifted man, by the Holy Ghost, you're real, he said, you'll admit I'm saying the truth, and you'll line up with what I teach you. Now, the question arises, first of all, who is the Holy Spirit? Who is he? All right, John 14. We've established our facts. You can't go by experience. People misinterpret the word by experience. This morning, it's our job to find out from the Bible exactly what thus saith the Lord is according to God's Word. Then we'll get our experience based on the Word. All right, pardon me, 16 verse. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, even the Spirit of truth, so that he may abide to you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comforted. Notice, he said here, I will send you another comforter. But he says it's the Spirit of truth, yet he was the truth. So therefore, the Comforter is His Spirit. The world cannot receive it because it seeth Him not. They didn't see Jesus, so they won't see this. Neither knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. That was Jesus Christ Himself. I will not leave you comfortless. Yet a little while, the world sees no more. Now, let's go to verse 23. Jesus said, if a man loves me, he'll keep my word. My Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode. He said, I'll send the Holy Spirit. He said, I'll come back to you. He said, the Father will come back. He said, we'll both come back. What came back? The Holy Ghost. Who came back? Jesus came back. The Father came back. The Holy Ghost came back. How? One God. One Spirit. See? Now I'm going to prove with you, brother, sister. I'm not a man to just use light terminology. Here's what I'm going to prove with you. Let's go and see what no Trinitarian theologian can deny, because I took this from the smartest Trinitarian theologian in the Greek the world's ever seen, Dr. Vincent. We go to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. This is not a oneness preacher this morning. This is a Trinitarian truth right here. No Trinitarian can deny this. Verse 9. Verse 8. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and he gave gifts to men. That's Jesus. Now listen, now he that ascended, that go up, what is it but that he also descended first in the lower parts of the earth? Who was that? Jesus. Thou not leave my soul in hell, neither suffer thine holy one to see corruption. God raised Jesus way up past his right hand, right? Up his right hand. All right, that's who it is. Now listen,
He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heaven. This is not saying the same thing two different ways. It's saying two different things about one man. It says he that went up there was the one that died and went down here. Then when he got up there, he came down because he descended. Just like he said in John 14, what descended? The Holy Ghost. Who is the Holy Ghost? It's Jesus. Who's Jesus? He's the Father. One God. All right? Let's find out. Acts 3. Verse 26. Unto you first God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you in the turning away every one of you from your iniquities. Aha! Now, was that Jesus when he came back from the dead and walked amongst Israel? No, sir. No, sir. Nobody could have his sins forgiven until Jesus was on the mercy seat, because he's mediator and intercessor, and mediator means bring them in, intercessor means keep them in. Look up your Greek. And who came back? Jesus came back. What was he? The Holy Ghost. The promise is unto you, first Israel, and then to the Gentiles. Right? Romans 1. Verse 2. Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David, according to flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by his resurrection dead. What's the Son of God? Holy Ghost. Jesus was not the Son of God except for the Spirit of Almighty God. The Son of God is amongst us now, being the Holy Ghost. You can take any scripture you want, and you cannot find three gods, you'll find one God. Therefore, who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is Almighty God in spirit form. God changes his form, but not his nature, as we saw in this scripture. The Holy Spirit now is no longer in one body, as he was in John 14, which we read from John 14, 16, when he was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He is now in a multi-membered, many body of many people who comprise his earthly temple, according to 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 14 and 27 to 30. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all that members of that, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. There you are. He changed his form. God is no longer in one person. No longer does one person have it all. It's many members, many people. For by one Spirit are you all baptized into one body. Whether it be Jew or Gentile, whether bond or free, make it drink in one spirit, for the body is not one member of the many. It used to be one, but no longer anymore. 27 to 30. Now you are the members of Christ in particular. So now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. Everyone is part of that body, but each one has his own personality and distinction and his own ministry. And by the way, a ministry doesn't mean you got to be in the fivefold or one of those nine gifts. Many people get so messed up. Here, just leave it for a second. Let's find out in Romans, the 12th chapter. Let's look at it. Verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that's given us, whether prophecy will prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or administering weight in the ministry, he that teaches on teaching, he that exhorts on exhorting, and he that giveth at the ministry, doing it simply. He that rules, be diligent. And he that shows mercy, that's a ministry too. How many would like to have that one? Every single person, the body of Christ, got a ministry. And because you don't talk in tongues doesn't mean you haven't got it. And because you don't prophesy doesn't mean you haven't got it. See? Those signs are in the body. But everyone's got a ministry, and a whole lot of those ministries are just like Paul said here, they're showing mercy and giving. As Irenaeus said, there are hundreds of gifts.
of the Holy Ghost in the body of Jesus Christ.
A man that was taught by Polycarp, who was taught by John. See? The Holy Spirit today is now in a multi-membered body who compose one membership under one headship and make the body of Jesus Christ. Different, spread around the world, yet by the Holy Ghost make one body manifesting Jesus Christ. He's changed his form. Not in one human form now, but in many forms. See? Constituting one form. A word body. Nothing but a word body. Now, how does he come to the individual? That is, how does he indwell these individual members? Why does he come in? What will he do when he comes in? Why do we need him? What are my qualifications? All of these are questions. I don't necessarily need to answer all of them, but they're all here in the Word of God before us here, and they can be answered from that same Scripture. Now, to begin with, now that we know who he is, this would take more than time than I took, but you have an understanding of what it is all about. Now that we know who he is, let us make this very clear concerning the Holy Ghost. And this is why you need him. Because without the Spirit of Christ, you are none of his. You have no part with him. Without the Spirit of Christ, you'll never be in the first resurrection. Without the Spirit of Christ, you won't be in the rapture. It's impossible. Now these three are all actually synonymous. They mean the same thing, because if you've got the Holy Ghost, all three of these are yours right now and you'll never lose them. Now, let us look at the truth of these three things that I said. Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 9, just one part of it. It says in here, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If you haven't got the same Spirit that Jesus has, if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, say what you want, you are none of his. That's what they said at that day in Matthew 7. Oh, Lord, we got it belong to you. We did those miracles. We cast out devils. And we had the Holy Ghost doing it. He said, you're none of mine. Depart. I never knew you. Without the genuine Holy Ghost baptism, filled by his Spirit, you are none of his. Secondly, Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, what Spirit is that? That's God Almighty himself indwelling Jesus. If that same Spirit dwells in you, it says that Spirit of God that raised up Jesus shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the very fact he's indwelling you now, you'll be in the resurrection. You'll be a like unto a first fruit, because he is the first fruit. All right, Ephesians 4 and 30, which I read a while ago. Grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. What is that? That's redemption of your body. Not the day you're born again. The day you're born again is Spirit-filled. That's the day you're sealed. I want to see God in my flesh and dwell on this land. You're sealed to the resurrection. What resurrection? The first resurrection. Romans 8 and 23. And not only they, that's creation, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit. What's the first fruit of the Spirit? The Spirit that brought Jesus out of the ground. Because first fruit is resurrection, right? So let's read it this way. It says here then, we which have the resurrection Spirit. Bless God, if I've got a resurrection Spirit, he's alive. If he doesn't bring me in the resurrection, I got a phony Spirit. That's right. If I've got a brown horse, and I think I have, and he's a black horse, something's wrong somewhere. Forget it. If I've got some kind of a Spirit of God in me that's supposed to be a resurrection Spirit, I'm going to be in the resurrection. It's his job to put me there. Why? Because I'm not the Holy Ghost. See, no wonder you're sealed to the day of resurrection. How can you not be if you've got a Holy Ghost sealing you to the day of resurrection, and he's a Holy Ghost resurrection Spirit? What more do you want? I think I've got some legal Canadian tenders. I think it's more tender than mine.
Two bits.
I don't know what your loaf of bread is here, but years ago you used to get them, what, about five per quart and depression, huh? Well, let's add 10 cents to it. This here's legal tender. That if that loaf of bread is for sale, and this is loaf of bread money that my mother gave me to get loaf bread, I'm going to have the loaf bread. Funny people can't think that way about the Holy Ghost, though. You always wonder. You look at this miserable sink of stuff that keeps going down the drain till it's none but almost nickel or tin or something. Your silver's just about all gone. You got faith in this junk here and forget the Word of God. What a terrible thing. He's a resurrection spirit. You're his. You'll be with him. Thirdly, he'll put you in the rapture. Matthew 25, 1 to 13, which we won't read because it's about the oil, which is the Holy Ghost. They went to the wedding supper because they had the Holy Ghost, right? So let's read 1 Corinthians 15 now. All right? 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 to 23. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. He came up and brought the rest with him. Old Testament thing. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection. What did life come by? It came by a man. Didn't say life came by God, it said it came by man. Right? Man brought death. Man brought life. Is that right? Don't be afraid to read your Bible because you got some silly Trinitarian theory in the back of your mind. Throw it out in the garbage can. Open your minds this morning. It doesn't say God, it says man. Amen. Go ahead and change it. Go ahead. Be my guest. I'll meet you on Judgment Day because I'm preaching. You're preaching the truth. Read your Bible the way you want to read it. For since by man came death, by God came resurrection. Go ahead and read it that way. You see, Brother Dale, I can show you another place it does say that. It does not. It does not. You think it says that. It says God raised him. Put it where it belongs. How it's supposed to be said. Just like there's one need between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. You see, in Galatians it says, God is a mediator by himself. And that's right. Put in Galatians there. Put it over here right. He's both God and man. We don't get it mixed. Don't try to make God the man and man the God. Put it where it belongs. You'll never understand the truth. Now listen. It says here in Adam all die, even so in Christ all are made alive. If there hadn't been a Christ, if that man had not been born, we wouldn't be alive. Now we're in Christ, we can have that life. We do have the life. But every man in his order, Christ the first fruit, afterwards they that are Christ that is coming. There it is. If you're his, you've got his spirit, or you're none of his. If you're his, you'll make the resurrection. If you're his, you'll make the rapture, because that's when he comes to take it himself. You see, now listen, all those things therefore are the same. Now, let's begin to examine this truth here, what I'm preaching this morning on the Holy Spirit. Because it's from Romans 8 and 9 that most everybody goes astray. Where it says in there, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now, how do you get to be one of his? How do you get that way? What does it say over here in the book of Acts, the second chapter, read it. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and your children, and so on. Now what do you got to do? You got to repent. Is that right? That's why do you repent? Did you believe? Because something strikes you. You repent. And the word repent in the Greek is to have a change of mind, and don't ever forget it. Remember that this afternoon I preached another sermon. People say, Brother Bill, repentance is godly sorrow. You don't know your Bible. The Bible says repentance works godly sorrow. For godly sorrow rather works repentance. They're not the same thing. One comes out of the other. Godly sorrow brings a change of mind.
Right.
Repent and be baptized, every one of you. How? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will receive that gift of the Holy Ghost. Christ will come in. Is that what he said? Let's see if he does it. Acts the 8th chapter. Verses 4 to 8. All right, they saw mighty miracles down there. Is that right? That's what the Bible says. Okay, go to verse 12. They believed the preaching of Philip concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, and they were baptized. Now that tells you right there they're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. They believed in that name. That's how they were baptized. Then Simon himself believed also, and so on. Then it says down here in verse 14, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard this and Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John, who when they were come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost, for as yet he was fallen on none of them, only. That's all they had, only. You only got to the door, you didn't come in. You only sat down at the table, you didn't eat. You only paid your bill, you didn't get anything for it. You only paid for your car and got rich. Didn't do you any good. Something was still wrong. They got this far, but they still had not received the Holy Ghost. It says they had not fallen upon them. They had only been baptized correctly. Then they laid hands on them. Then the Holy Ghost came on them. And that was it. That's what the Bible said. Now notice, these people following the word of God set forth by Peter got a genuine experience. They took the word, they believed it, they did what the word said, they received the Holy Ghost. Acts 19, the same thing. Paul went down there preaching the word. He knew something was supposed to be right, but something was wrong. He knew something was wrong. So he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And they said, we haven't even heard of him. He said, then my, what were you baptized under? They said, John's baptism. He said, that's wrong. You got to get baptized over again. What was he doing? He was preaching the word of God. They believed the word of God. They got baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost fell on them. See? Now that's what the word of God teaches. Let's prove it. If that's the doctrine, Ephesians the first chapter. In whom also you trusted. After that you heard the word of truth. What do you got to do? You got to hear the word first. And what about those folks that came to get the Holy Ghost and don't hear any word? What about those grand old meetings we had when, oh, we had such a great time, the preacher couldn't even preach. You talk about a bunch of puffed up nincompoops. Wouldn't those split beans from coffee? Sure. These people heard the word, see? The gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that, it was after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our redemption, our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession. The Holy Ghost will seal you in until the resurrection morn, and you come out of that ground. Now listen to me. You can see the word of God preached correctly, and the people believed it, then they got an experience. And this is what we're talking about this morning. Receiving a genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost, really receiving God. Now, what about this new birth that people talk about today? According to John 3, you must be born again. What do they teach? They teach when you come to the altar. Now, what's an altar doing? Well, thank you, don't have one. Good.
Well, you do that. Well, that's what thank you, okay.
As long as you sit on it. Where do you get an altar? Put an altar in the Bible, and what do? You get rid of the water, right? The Bible doesn't say, come to the altar, it says, come to the water. Is that right? And who changed it? Methodism changed it. Where are they today? They can't do it. Stick with that word of God. Now what do people do? They give the message out. Then they cast the net, right? They have an altar call. And the people repent. And they call that repenting what? The rebirth. And then they say, now come and get baptized, proving your rebirth. So they get baptized in water. They say, now you go on and get the Holy Ghost. Now find that in the Bible, please. What about those that just stop at the water? They already think they've got the Holy Ghost, but they haven't got the Holy Ghost because the Bible says all they've got is repentance. Now, where does it lead the Baptist, Presbyterian, Methodist, all the rest of them? Missionary Alliance, Church of Christ, rest of them. I'm not running those people down. There's no hate in my heart. I'm just asking the question. How can you claim to have something when God says you don't have it? You say, well, Brother Vail, the thing is this. When I went to that altar, I changed. Well, what do you expect to happen to you? I'm questioning. Well, I won't ask the question there to anybody. But is there anybody here that took a test and you proved mentally deficient? Now, if you're mentally deficient, I can't talk. But if you have 1 ounce of intelligence, I can talk. You ready for it? Okay. Boy, I tell you, if I had a tough week, I had it, says the guy. Oh, boy. Man, he said, I tell you, the only thing to do is go and get drunk. I'm going to get so hoot owl drunk, and I'm going to have a weekend. Oh, am I going to have a weekend? And he changed his mind. I can't do that anymore, is he? And he doesn't do it. A sinner comes to the church. He hears the word of God. He says, oh man, he says, I've been a skunk. I can't live that way. He changed his mind, and his life cleans up. That's all he's got. Right. Any heathen, any skunk, any water can do that thing and not have 1 ounce of the Holy Ghost. Because he changed his mind. And when you change your mind, you change you because you are your mind. Now, where's your Holy Ghost there? Where's your rebirth? Your brother Vig, you're knocking everything I've got in the cock hat. Better have a knock than a cocked hat now and find out where we're going and get the truth. Because I've told you the truth and you know it. Because when a man changes his mind, he goes in a new direction. And changing your mind, which is repentance, is not being born again. It's repent. Change your mind. Get baptized in water, then you are first, for the first time in life, in position to receive the Holy Ghost. But you did not receive the Holy Ghost and you changed your mind. Is that right? Do what you want. Yet millions of people right today claim that when they repented, they were born again. They felt powerless. Even though baptized in water. One day they heard they could receive the Holy Ghost, and so now they got the baptism. So what do they teach? They teach what Dr. McCrossan's book brought up, which was so wrong. You receive the Spirit of life when you're born again. That's Jesus Christ. Then you receive the power of Almighty God for service. You find that in the Bible. Now you see what he did? He twisted the Word of God to suit experience. And millions of people right today have had a change of mind and therefore a change of life. But they have not eternal life. They merely changed this one around. And they said, I want to tell you something right now. I'm a different guy. So what? I know a fella one day was the biggest old crank in the world. You couldn't get a good word into him. One day he had a heart attack. He almost died. And when he thought he'd never see the Morris son, he had a real change of mind. He said, boy, if I pull through, from now on I never grouch or grumble, I'll be happy. And from that time on, he was a happy sinner instead of a grouchy sinner. But a million well-meaning folks said, oh boy, he got born again. In other words, it's pure unadulterated nonsense. See what your experience will do to you? Your experience is that it's taking you to God, even in the name of God, will take you from God. Because even Simon had a change of mind up to a point. And he didn't have a change of heart. See? Because when the showdown came, he wanted to buy the privilege of laying on a hand to give people the Holy Ghost. He wanted money out of it. What about that fellow not long ago at Pentecost? Is there someone here you know in this meeting? He said, you're seeking the Holy Ghost. That happened to Dowell, didn't it?
Yeah.
No, I won't name the denied guy's name. But I think the Dowells were in a meeting, and they knew that the Dowells were there, and they were fairly well off, as I understand it. And I'm pretty understanding, too. And so they said, somebody here seeking the Holy Ghost, and they'll give $1,000, God told me, to get the Holy Ghost. I don't think he gives $1,000, because you can't buy the Holy Ghost. Another case of Peter, I mean Simon the sorcerer. But he's got a great healing ministry. He did have. Oh, he's got it now or not. How much Holy Ghost he got? None. Be honest, none. You're judging, I'm not judging, just the Word of God. If I can't go by that word and preach that word and try to live it, where am I at? Told you manifestation is not the answer, and lack of it's not the answer. There's a place where you have both. And the experience lines up with the word. See? Now, let me say this is all we have to know. It's exactly what Paul said, and there is no controversy. How do you receive the Holy Ghost? By hearing the pure word of God and believing it, doing it, and you'll get it. Brother Vail, I got to carry it. No, you got to do. No, no. You got to believe the Word of God. You got to get the pure Word of God. That's all you got to have. Get baptized in water like you did in the New Testament. And then the laying on of hands, God said He would do it. What more do you want? Now, see, if you want to add something to that, then see where you put God in the spot? You're going to go your own way, 10-1. You're not going to meet God. See? Now today, for the first time, we're right back where Paul and Peter were. The pure Word of God, received by any people, baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in faith, shall certainly receive the Holy Ghost. What else can God do? What else can you do? Well, tell me. You've done two things, is that right? Three things? Repent, baptize, receive, right? What two things do you do? You repent. Right? You get baptized. What does God do? Give. If you being evil know how to give good gifts, how much more would the Heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost? Is that right? He said, you live up to your word, and you even haven't even got a word. Then how much will I live up to my word? Right? And why do you believe? What's all this commotion about? You know what it is? People get an experience. They say, you know, let's make the Word of God tell the world my experience. Now, this is a good time right here to talk about evidence. Because here's what people want to hear about. They want to know something that they can put their finger on. They want something physical. Why? Because 3 out of 5 times in the book of Acts, people spoke in tongues. So now the Pentecostals call it initial evidence. Where does initial evidence come from? You ever hear of a man called Charles Farm? P-A-R-H-A-M, Charles Farnham. He's called the Father of Pentecost. Yeah, I think he was in Kansas City one day when he said, there are three young boys. Now, why pick up three young boys? Why don't you pick up the oldest, more mature Christians they could find? Picked up three kids. He said, boys, study the Bible and find the evidence of the Holy Ghost. They read the book of Acts. And they came back designating the historical account of how the Holy Ghost fell as evidence. Oh, that poor Philippian jailer. Folks, there's no use believing God till the earthquake comes. And when the earthquake comes, that's not to be. Don't you know that Acts 2 and 4 in the book of Acts is nothing but a historical account of how he fell and is not the doctrine of evidence? You get me this morning? That's history! Nothing comes as a fire anymore in the wind. That's how he fell. That's what happened. That's no blueprint. That's not an evidence. That's history. Now listen. If tongues is the initial evidence, what's the rest of it? Because initial means to begin with. Now, if the Holy Ghost begins with, then he's got to end with because he's Alpha and Omega. And what's Alpha and Omega is the same in the middle. So there's only one evidence according to Pentecost, and that's tongues. That's got to be all of it. But listen, Peter at Pentecost said they were prophesying. Is that right? Well, come on. Said they're prophesying. Now listen, what about Matthew 7? Many will come in that day having prophesied, I never knew you. Now where's your evidence? Where? Your brother Bale, that doesn't know the fact that I had an experience. Didn't say it did. But are you resting on the experience of the Word? Are you believing this morning because you had something and now you simply got to relate and you can't relate to the Word because you're holding this thing up? Why don't you junk it? Amen. Lay it on one side. Maybe that word junk is too strong and vulgar. Let's say lay it on one side. Let it sit there. If it's for God, said Gamaliel, it'll prove out. If it's for God, it'll prove out. You can afford to watch it. Put to one side. Get your experience lined up. Listen, let's go to Hebrews 6. Verse 4, for it is impossible, not hard, but impossible for those who were once for all enlightened. And if, now listen, enlightenment comes by the revealed word of Almighty God. There's a once and for all enlightenment, and you'll never ever get it again, said God. At the end of this age. You can taste the heavenly gift, partake of the Holy Ghost, taste the good word of God. The power of the world to come and still fall away and crucify the Son of God afresh doing it. There you are. Matthew 7 once more. Matthew 24 once more. Now listen, brother, sister. If you can have all of this by manifestation and still not be baptized with the Holy Ghost, there's only one thing left not mentioned here, and that's tongues. So tongues have to be all of it. But you see, tongues, devils can talk with tongues too. You can't make it evidence because it's not. Well, what is the evidence? You ready for it? I don't think you really are, but you're going to get anyway. I'm not insulting you, but I just felt if you heard what Brother Branham said, there is absolutely no certain evidence as to any certain manifestation that has to take place physically to convince you or anyone else you've got the Holy Ghost. I'm sorry, but that's the word. Because you're speaking in tongues or lack of it doesn't prove a thing. You're doing miracles or lack of it doesn't mean a thing. Because you may have a ministry of giving, or a ministry of being cheerful, or a ministry of forgiving, or pouring oil on the troubled water. And you're just as important as the fellow that's got a great big ministry of miracles and signs and wonders. Because you're part of that body. And because the finger is not the eye, would it say, I am not of the body? Oh, it does right now. Oh, well, yeah, it couldn't be. Oh, you know how we get so, oh, my. We're so vulgar, crass, crude, and rotten. But on judgment day, if we should find our humility, which we were so humble down here, well, I don't have it. You wait till the chips are down and that wedding supper is called off. You'll be saying, God bless you, let me, oh, God, I take your mind. Too late, you change your mind, too late. You were just too humble to get it. That's right. That's right. That's right. There's going to come a day when we'll stop smarting off. It's going to be too late. There's going to come a day when we revere this word. You say, I stand with that word. There's going to be a day like the Hebrew children. We're going to have to say, King, I don't know if he's going to save me or not. There's one thing I'm going to do. I'm going to do what he said. Because the Bible said there's coming a day when the face of Job and Abraham and Noah won't see you. That day's around the corner. It's right here. There is no certain evidence as to a physical manifestation you can put your finger on. I've covered them all. This afternoon I'll cover more. But I want to take a new slant this afternoon. Yet there's got to be some kind of an evidence, though it's not a certain physical evidence. The evidence of the Holy Spirit in you is the evidence that anything else has to prove what it is. It will act like it. Dogs act like dogs. Cats act like cats. That's what makes them dogs and cats. You ever hear a guy say to the pussycat, pussycat, why don't you bark? You think you're a stupid guy, I'm a cat. I go meow. That makes you laugh, doesn't it? And why do you expect the Holy Ghost to make a fool of himself? Can't we find out what the Holy Spirit is and by what he is know what he will do and evidence himself? And why don't we go to the Bible and find out? Not try to take a conglomeration of experiences and then go to the Word of God and find we're continually fighting each other and ourselves and grieving the Holy Ghost because we're way outside of what he said, crisscrossing scripture until we take Matthew 7 to mean, well, the guy backslid. What about David? Talk about a backslider. Man. God didn't say, get rid of that guy. Dump him off the throne. He's no more my prophet. I won't let him be my type. No, sir. I'll get another man and I'll let him be my type. All down the ages, Jesus is called the Son of David. Hallelujah. Not for sin, but for grace. Hallelujah. For election based upon grace.
I'm getting feeling good now because the Bible says election is the mark of God's love, and we ought to praise Him for it. I'm going to praise Him for election. As David said, I'm going to praise You for Thy righteousness. The only time we praise God is when we feel we've been a little better today. Hallelujah. I saw the next thing go down.
You can beat the celebrity and go to hell.
It's His righteousness. Oh, I'm going to sing a new song one day. Glory to God. I'm not dancing here. I want to dance here. I could dance here too. I prefer this. In plain words, the Holy Spirit will be simply Himself when He comes in. As Brother Branham said, there's one genuine Christ Spirit, and that's the Word made flesh, as He promised to do. Then what is He? Well, we said He's God, He's the Holy Spirit. What is He? John 16, let's find out. Oh, my. This is not tedious for me. I hope it's okay for you. John 16, beginning of verse 12. I have yet many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. You never will till the Holy Ghost comes in either. It won't make a bit of sense to you. You can get to first base, you fall flat in your face. I can't take that. Oh, man, I can't take that. Oh, he said so. See, you can't bear it now. We do you a bit of good, if I told you. How be it? Ah, he said, I'm opening the door to you. When the Spirit of truth, who's the truth? Jesus. When my Spirit has come, He will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of Himself, but He speak what He shall hear. And that shall He speak, and He'll show you things to come. In other words, you're not a blessed Holy Spirit coming down and saying one thing contrary to what the Word of God says. Hallelujah! He'll speak exactly what the Word of God says.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, I feel good now. Don't go away. Listen. All things the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, He'll take a mind and show it unto you. All right, let's go back to John 14, 26. But the comforter, I'm not excited, I'm just getting a little wine. That's the kind of wine I like. The bottle stuff is not good. But the revelation, oh, that does me good. But the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance what I have said unto you. All right, 1 Corinthians. 2nd chapter. Verses 11 to 14. We could read many, but we're getting these important ones. All right, for what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man's in him. All right, there I told you a while ago. A man acts like a man. A horse acts like a horse. A dog acts like a dog. Why? Because he is a man. He is a horse. He is a dog. Bring on the Holy Ghost. All right? Even so, the things of God knows no man, but the Spirit of God. How are you going to get a difference out of that, brother? Just the word driven us now. What about? Where's your tongue snapping in tongues now? Scream and jump up and down and talk in tongues and call Brother Branham a soothsayer. When you wouldn't know it, and you can't even accept the word of God of what a prophet is, a man that comes in the name of the Lord, thus saith the Lord, and it comes to pass that's the word prophet you hear, and you can't even understand that, and you say you've gone to grade 10, and none but a Roman Catholic. It'll be a Catholic with a college education when he knows there were three popes at one time cursing each other. Knows the awfulness of the Roman Catholic sin where they never apologized for the millions of the blood of the martyrs. And can live like the devil himself and give a few bucks to pray out of purgatory. Or send armies across the sea to slaughter men so that Jesus can work. A missionary line said that not long ago. I think I told you, didn't I? On the United States, missionary line. Preacher went over there to Vietnam and came back and said, thank God for the armies over there, for the Christian's sake. I'm going to tell you one thing, don't send an army for me. Don't try to forget me.
I'm a big enough fool to run, but don't send an army to embarrass me. I'll do my own running, my own cowardice, but don't embarrass me further. I want to try to trust God somewhere. Personal? Only the things of God knows the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know that the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak. There you are. You say you got the Holy Ghost? You'll agree with every single word Paul said. You won't change one single solitary word. You won't add to it. You won't take from it. You'll be right with Paul 100%. That's your evidence. Paul said, here the Holy Ghost told me these things, and he'll tell you what he told me by revelation. But I got it first with Paul. And if you've got the Holy Ghost, you'll hear me, and you'll know what I'm saying. Now let's watch. Oh, this is good. Yeah. Now, compare spiritual things. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, because they're foolishness to him. Yeah. A vindicated Elijah and said, you people, you're falling in this. Oh, they're so intelligent. Are they? If not taught school, you wouldn't believe it now. I know intelligence and stupidity. There is no blessing in being stupid. Because God said, be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. The Holy Spirit revealed word will make you sharper than anybody in this world. But you won't be blowing about and causing the fight. You just haven't lived. Certainly.
They're foolish to him. He cannot know them because their spirit discerns. Now listen. But he that is spiritual judges all things.
You just watch when they come and the Holy Spirit says, that's of God, that's not of God. That's the word, that's thing.
Now listen. Yet he himself
is judging no man.
If you haven't got the Holy Ghost, you didn't speak in tongues.
Yeah, right there. It's just so good job.
If you haven't got the Holy Ghost, you don't believe it like I do.
So it's right there. You can't judge any man. It's the word that's got to do it. And brother, when he doesn't go by the law and the prophets, it shows just what he is. First of all, you got to believe every word in this book verbatim. You can't change one. Then you've got to receive the revelation for your day. Because Israel believed the word verbatim, but they had their own ideas. Brother Branham made that monumental statement, Jesus came according to the word, but not according to their interpretation, so they destroyed it. All right. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. The Holy Ghost is the very mind of Christ. It's the very word brought to life by revelation. Now, watch what happens and how a genuine manifestation can come with the word. First of all, it comes before the word to prove the person that you should listen to. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, verses 1 to 5, I came to you not with excellent speech, wisdom, declaring to you the word of God, his testimony. I determine nothing but Christ Him crucified. What do you think of that? Christ Him crucified. You ever heard anything so silly? Israel hearing of crucified Christ, they said, now listen, God said, don't you dare put a man through the fire or kill a human sacrifice. How are we going to believe that nonsense?
You trying to tell us that God came down and had intercourse with the woman and brought forth a child? The heathen believe that junk. Well, they said that's ridiculous. Preach to the smart guys, the Greeks. And why? They said, you got to be kidding. God come down and sacrificed for us when we know the gods only indulge in orgies and they hate us and they blast us and they bang us and they bam us. And now you want to talk about a Lord that died? Oh, they said, it's always that way. Let the word of God even be revealed in flesh. Let it come to pass under your very eyes. And the average man said, please don't insult my judge. That's what happened. So Paul said, I never came anyway. I laid it on the line. It looked so foolish, so crude, and so silly. But he said, you what? I had a ministry. He said, nobody could do what I did. When I had thought that the Lord is good, I raised the dead. Show me one time I say, listen, you Corinthians, he said, you got off the mark. Did the word of God come to you or come out of you? Now, why did you take the word? He said, because you know I've got the power, and if I come again, I'll put you in your place. Boy, they buckled right down. Now, listen, when the word comes that way, and we know that's the word of God, God's indicating, interpreting his word for that day, what happens? It happens like it says over here in Hebrews, when men begin to preach it, and preach that word true, God will give the signs and the wonders according to his will. Now you can see where William Branham stood alone, and William Branham stood all alone with the only authentic Holy Ghost ministry, word vindicated right of all men in the world and nobody else. Thank you. I know you said others won't, but it's all right. We understand. And now then, are you ready for it? Where are you, women preachers? They're forbidden to preach. Right. Oh, they say, Brother Dale, that's wrong. You see, we don't take authority over the man. How naive. The Bible says, obey those who have the rule over you, who teach to you the word of God. The rule is by the word. And when a woman uses the word, she is ruling. And so she's a monstrosity when she gets in that book. Where are they now? Signs and wonders, talking tongues, winning souls, great ministry. Oh, Brother Ben, it's got to be so. A man tried that in Switzerland. He said, Brother Branham used psychology. Well, sure, anybody does. Want to make your kid beat? Pull their sugar on them. Very bad psychology to ruin their teeth. But psychology. I wouldn't disagree. Oh, I was glad God didn't listen. It's because I trapped him, and he told that one about women preachers. I said, your psychology show. You're rationalizing. The word says this. Are you denying God's word and saying he's got the Holy Ghost? Round and round he went, brothers. When the truth, he went his way, I went mine. He's not convinced. There's a day coming. I'm not judging the man. He can change. But if he departs this world the way he is now, he's turned the truth of God into a lie. Because women cannot preach. They cannot teach. They can learn. Then they have a right to say what they have learned. But not as preachers, as witnesses. Where are all your great men now with great ministries who teach a Trinitarian dogma? When hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. Jesus said it. Now I can just say to him, because he said that, hear, O the Lord our God is one God, and he says to the side, but Father, I'm fooling you. You've got to let that me, because I'm the other one. Can you imagine Jesus standing there smirking and pulling a lulu on the people? Telling them there's one God, but really he's the other one. There's one more to come. Do we want to take all the dignity away from Jesus Christ? See, here's the point. So I love him. I worship him. I'm sincere. Brother, sister, in vain do you worship him if you've got a creed or a dogma. The man ran for the train. He had a heart attack and died. He missed the train. In vain did he run. You ever hear Paul saying, we might run in vain? Huh? Oh, I'm running. Oh, long as that. Oh, no. You might run in vain. Paul said, where are those men that blaspheme by saying there are three gods and turn the truth to lies? What is the evidence you want? What are you looking for? Should we not be seeking Ephesians, the first chapter, verses 15 to 23, wherein it says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith, listen, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of in my prayers. What's he praying for? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of himself, the eyes of understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, and then only what is exceeding great in his power to usward who believe, according to that word and that mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised from the dead. There it is, brother, sister. Pentecost turns it right around. They said, power, 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 signs, 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 wonders, wonders, wonders. The Bible says, revelation, 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 revelation. And then the power of God in heaven. That power aside from revelation is a trap. You say, a trap? Would God give a trap? How naive can you get? Didn't he say he would send false prophets among the people to prove them whether they'd listen to God or not? Now, supposing I'm a merchant, and I want to see if my customers are awake. And I say, look, now I'm going to put some eggs in the basket, and everybody buys the basket, there's going to be one uncandled egg that's rotten. Merrily, we crack the eggs, crack the eggs, crack the eggs. So you've got 18 eggs cracked for the big omelet, and doing the rotten egg. Scream, the rotten eggs in the omelet. He told you there'd be a rotten egg. Why don't you crack them separately in the dish? God's not stupid. He warned you. He said at the end time this would happen. That's why he can judge us, brother, sister. What's he going to judge the world by? The word. Okay. This is your evidence. The revealed word by the Spirit, which is the revelation of Christ. This is what he said in John 16, 12 to 15, which we read. And I won't read it now, but we'll turn to 1 John 3 and 2 and read that. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, that is the complete revelation of Christ, will be like him. That's what puts you in the rapture. Gives you the resurrection, because Christ has been redeemed you, according to the word. Now then, how will I receive him? How am I going to do it? Now, some of you folks here, you know that you've been taught the truth since you heard this word. You've been baptized in water, but you might say, I don't know if I've really got the Holy Ghost. Have you had hands laid on you to read the Holy Ghost? Have you called the elders? Have you set a time aside? Why don't you? This is no time to throw everything to the wind. We are at the one time where we can see the Word of God in absolute perfection. The perfect revealed Word as it was at Pentecost, with men and women being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ upon repentance and confession of faith, and having hands laid on, and by faith receive the Holy Ghost. You say, when did that happen? How many times have you heard Brother Branham talk about these men who came to him and they simply laid their hands on them, and he said they received the Holy Ghost? Now, what more are you looking for? See, that old Pentecostal dogma, that old experience, the man said, oh my, when I was sitting holding, I saw a burning ball of fire. Where's the chapter and verse? Please, 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 please. Oh, I had this great majestic feeling. I felt like a giant. Oh, please, 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 please. I've got to know where that is. Yes, it says here, said Paul, doesn't? What do you want it for? When the woman came to Brother Branham to receive the Holy Ghost, he said, Lord, would it just help her, cover her heart, let her have some kind of evidence, Lord. You want a man of God to pray that kind of prayer over you? You want a prophet of God to say to you, would it make you feel better if you spoke in tongues? Many will come in that day. They blew that one, didn't they? Won't work. He said, Brother Dale, here's what I really want. I want something real. I want something I can stand on. I want something that won't desert me. That's the thing I really want. Can I have that? I'm sure glad you asked. I got the recipe for you. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Some say you're John the Baptist. Was he? No. Good guess, but wrong. Perverted word. Some say Elijah. Are you? Very good guess. Wrong. Perverted word. Jeremiah. Ooh, you missed this. You haven't got a thing on that one. One of the prophets. you're coming close. Deuteronomy 18. Wrong guess. Very good, but wrong. Who do you say I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed art thou. Now he's mine. You're blessed. Who else is Peter? Far be it me to be blessed. Because that's so teeny weeny when I could be doing miracles. Let's nail it down. Sarcasm won't hurt anybody. That's what I'm here for. I don't care how sarcastic I get, if I can nail it down and show you something wrong, my brother, my sister, with it. Time to grow up. Time to be so dedicated and all of our hearts so circumcised by the Holy Ghost and so filled with the Word of God, we know that we know that we know. He said here, and flesh and blood hath not revealed you, but my Father which is in heaven. And Peter, you're the looking for the foundation. You're the one, something real, something you can stand on. some will get you. The gates of hell will not prevail against you.
What about yourself?
Okay, what about him? What about your miracle? He's fine. What about great brains? Wise and prudent don't get it. What are you going to stand on? What are you standing on? The fact that you felt good?
That's great. Most of the time I feel blocky.
Oh, I tell you, I just feel them waves of glory. Hallelujah. What about George Brainerd? You ever read his life? Read it. Read it. He wasn't jumping up and down, screaming, shouting, hallelujah. He trembled and hung in the presence of Christ, knowing he should be destined to hell, wondering if God really had saved him. But what a masterpiece in the hands of Christ. Because he believed that word. He stood with the word of God. His only hope in his desperation was that word of God. God. The gates of hell will not prevail against your revelation. Here's where we stand. Today the revelation is faith. Certainly, faith is a revelation. And it will put you in the rapture because the gates of hell, which in this case is death, cannot prevail against you. Surely we see this from Revelation 1 to 10. Give me another 10 minutes and we're finished, I think. Yeah. Or 15. Whatever it is, I'm going to take it. Don't worry about it. Dinner's all ready. You've got to have your sandwiches and stuff. That's all right. You can take this meat with you. Revelation 1 and 10. John, I was in the Spirit.
That does it.
That does it. Now you're going to hear what the Spirit does. Now you're going to find out what it is to have the Holy Ghost. And now we're going to know something. Because here's an authenticated man that says, I handled, I saw it, I know it, and I want you to know it. And I was in the Spirit. Let's go. Spirit of God, what is it? I heard a voice like a trumpet. Verse 8. We read it. Does it know? Verse 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. He turned to see the voice and saw the church, the bride. Aha! Uh-huh. What is this Spirit trying to show us? I don't know, but it sure sounds interesting. Verse 13. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, in the midst of the church, one like to the Son of Man. The Greek interpretation is who says the same things as the Son of Man. He has to because he's a voice. How are you going to identify a voice? Do you get it? All right. Now listen. Go to the garment. And so on. Now listen, let's read further, verse 20. The midst of the seven stars that you saw, and the seven candlesticks. The seven stars are the seven messengers of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks are the seven churches. Now he's in the Spirit, and he's hearing something with the seven church ages. Let's go now to the second chapter. Unto the messenger of the church which is in Ephesus write, these things that he, that's the seven stars, and so on. Verse 8, unto the messenger which is in the church of Smyrna write, these things that the Spirit, because it's Christ, so on. Verse 12, unto the messenger of the church which is in the Pergamos, these things that he, which hath the sharp sword, he who gave the word of God. Listen! Trace it down to the next two chapters, or the next chapter all the way through. Let's double back to verse 7 now. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Verse 11, he that hath an ear, Let him hear the spirits of the churches. Verse 17, he that hath an ear and so on. The word of God comes to the messenger of every age, and you hear the spirit of Almighty God as you hear that man talk to you, and as you receive his word, the spirit of God reveals it. And the Bible says, take care how you hear. With what measure you hear will be revealed to you, and if you don't take it, it'll be taken away from you. I'm paraphrasing the open loop, but you can look it up for yourself. God tells us right here that the Holy Spirit is given to us, and the evidence of His incoming and indwelling us is that we hear the messenger and identify Him in every age, and we listen to Him and hear the voice of God. Surely this sign-seeking generation wants something other than that. What does it say in Isaiah 28? Let's find out. Verse 8, all tables are full of vomit. Isn't that nice? Just before dinner. That's a good nauseating. No table of God where the word of God is anything but vomit. What is vomit? It is partly digested food regurgitated. And that's the worst kind there is. Some preachers takes the word of God and it gets potted, brings it up, and you say, ooh, 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 wasn't it? They hear the revealed word of God from serpent seeds of salt in the forehead, and they say, spit on, what a terrible thing. They got used to vomit. How can they get good food? And to whom shall he teach knowledge? Now who's the teacher? The Holy Ghost. Whom shall he make to know doctrine? The word, that's the doctrine, the word of God. Only those that are weaned from the milk and those taken from the breast. The Pentecostal babies you cannot teach. You've got to get away from it. For precept, the doctrine. The enlarged, the ordinary doctrine. Slam bang. Serpent feet. And the serpent and the woman. Don't say a word about it. It's a slam it home. There it is. One dog. Slam it home. Don't explain it. Slam it home. After that, it says, line upon line. Start explaining it. Then it says, here it is. Take it word by word. For with stammering lips, and another tongue he'll speak. This is not a foreign language, because Paul says you can't teach in a foreign language. It's a man coming who stutters and stammers around, and you wish he just won't stand up and go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and put a little black book and say, there it is. That's the nomination. His stammering lips and the stuttering tongue is that you don't understand his language because you're so used to your own dogmatic interpretation of the Word of God. When you hear him say a thing, you fail to get it because you interpret it according to the way you believe it, not according to revelation, and the Holy Ghost is blocked out. Now listen. To whom he said this is the rest. This is the real Holy Ghost. This is the real token. Now you can apply it. Now it's all over. You don't have to doubt anymore. No fear. The vindicated word prophet is bringing you, thus saith the Lord. Believe it. Test it. This is your rest. No more do you have to wonder. No more do you have to run. No more a sensation. No more a miracle or a lack of a miracle. It's all vindicated word. See? Does that carry it through to the messenger, which is in the church of Laodicea? Thus saith the Amen, the last message, the last revelation, the last thing, all the signs and wonders, but there's a voice that brings the Word of God. This is your identification. This is your evidence that you have the Holy Ghost, because if you didn't have the Holy Ghost, you couldn't receive the message. Oh, some may want to say, I want my own sign. That'll be my token. Well, yes, all right, go ahead. That's not for me. I stand by what the prophet said when I was with him at Phoenix for 4.5 hours on one point alone. What is the baptism of the Holy Ghost? It's in the church age book. I said, Brother Branham, I can't get what you're driving at. Surely, by your own experience, where you saw the cross of light that spoke to you, another man, and in the woodshed, where an experience of rain pelted your body, the Holy Ghost, by your own experience, you must admit that there is a rebirth and a passion of the Holy Ghost. I never had Brother Branham treat me like that in my life. He drew himself over the stern and said, Brother Dale, we don't go by the Spirit. We go by the Word. Wouldn't you like to have what he had by Spirit to say, Lord, look at this. People, look at this. Oh, no, old folk, nobody's got what I've got. Nobody. Brother Branham laid it all on yours. He said, we don't go back. We go by the way. Something like Peter. Second Peter here. The first chapter, verses 15, moreover I'll endeavor that you may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. He doesn't say, I'm going to be sure. Did you get miracle signs and wonders? You get a good, happy feeling? He said, I'm going to make sure you get reality. You're going to have something in your mind. We have not followed cunningly devised fables, something that's merely got a moral, something you can't make stick. When we made known to the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, we were eyewitnesses. We received from God the Father honor and glory. We were separated, singled out to be with Him on that holy mountain. We heard Him say, this is my beloved Son. But we've got something bigger and greater than that. That's the Word of God. Spiritually given and spiritually revealed word. Now where do you stand this morning, brother? Sister? What do you want, really? What are you looking for? The Apostle Peter said, I don't go by evidence. I don't go by the fact that Jesus singled me out and bore me in His arms to the Mount of Transfiguration. I was singled out, such honor, such glory, standing alone. Generation after generation will call me blessed. Let me tell you, I stand as a unique and glorified figure because of Jesus Christ. But I put it to one side. There's something bigger. There's a sure word of prophecy. I don't care, he said, what manifestation there is. There's only one thing that counts, and that's the Word. Why not? All things are made by the Word. All things are maintained by the Word. What more do you want than the revealed Word? See? Now, if you are one with the revealed Word, by the vindicated, such word is vindicated by the prophet, then we have the evidence of the indwelling of the Spirit. We have eternal life, for it says in Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, and you're led as sheep who hear a voice. Led to the Word, and made one with the Word. One day soon the bride will be one with the Word. She'll be glorified with that Word and have thus saith the Lord. That's that Isaiah 28:12, that great rest coming on, the word, the spirit, and the bride becoming one. There's your evidence. Where's your evidence that that bridal supper, brother, sister? What's that bridal supper? How do you get that bridal supper? You got to have the oil. What's the oil? It's a garment. Right. It's actually a garment. The Holy Ghost is actually your garment. And remember, that garment, according to 1 Corinthians 15, is an inner garment. It is the revealed word of God which Brother Branham screamed out in prophecy when the sword struck his hand. Bring on your holy vesture with the word of God standing by. Clothed with the divine revelation of the word of Almighty God by the Holy Spirit. Now where is your tongue? Now where is your sensation? You know, brother, sister, what I'd like? If God knows my heart and I know it a little bit myself, I know one thing. I would love nothing better than my evidence than to stand on the revealed word of God. And if he desires, as Brother Branham said, to cast me into hell, that's his business. But I want it known. I stood on what was revealed to me. What are you looking for? Don't look for it. So what Brother Brown said, a woman can no more have a baby and not know unless she's hypnotized or chloroformed than a man receives the Holy Ghost. That's right. I want to tell you one thing, brother, sister. Just having a baby isn't it. It's bringing that baby up. Life is not giving a birth. Life is a process. And the Bible said it's precept upon precept. It's line upon line. Until here a little, there a little, it all comes into the perfect being by the revelation of the Spirit of God. That's your evidence. That's your evidence. Sure, I spoke in tongues. I was taught wrong. I thought I was right. It was right for my day. But the funniest thing happened the night I received the Holy Ghost and did speak in tongues. I stood under a lamppost with the snow gently falling. And you know how it makes a long light up toward the sky and a sort of a light underneath? You see that sort of shadowing light? And I said, Lord, it's strange. How I rejoice I'm full of the Holy Ghost. But I don't understand. I just hate being one of them. The very night I was baptized with the Holy Ghost, I knew something was desperately wrong. Although something was desperately right. Today, brother, sister, it's all desperately right. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to stand where you stand with your evidence that you know because you have identified yourself with the word for that day. That's where the apostles stood. They identified with Jesus. That's where that first glorious crowd stood. They identified with the Holy Ghost, the revealed word for their day. I'm identifying today, brother, sister, whether I rise or fall, sink or swim, live or die, I'm determined to identify with the word of Almighty God as the one evidence I hold to, because as the prophet said, there is no certain physical evidence you can put your finger on. It's something between you and God. No man can judge it. You stand alone in your faith. You can't produce a thing the world would believe. The only thing that is real is what the Holy Ghost produces in you. He came to reveal Christ, that living word. What more do you want? There's nothing. But your training, I know, throws a spell on you. Your training confuses your heart. You know what time to do this morning? Repent. There's one message to Laodicea. Repent. Not get up and shout and scream and get a lot of gifts going. Repent. 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 And as many as I love, he said, I'm going to take you. I'm going to whip you.
I'm going to dog and bring every one of your thoughts under control. I'm going to make you acknowledge as a bride every word until you stand with everything the prophet revealed, and you'll know it. So I'm going to whip you. I'm going to train you. I want you to repent. Have you repented this morning because you once endorsed women preachers? Well, you said, I changed my mind. That's repentance, sure, but have you felt sorry too? Because sorrow brings repentance. Have you repented because you took your stand that tongues was the evidence? Have you had some sorrow about the past that you let your mind was cluttered up? You can't witness to God apart from that word. It must be with the truth. So the prophet was right. Everything he taught was right. There's only one thing God's going to back up, and that's his truth. He's not going to back me up. He's not going to back you up. Right. He stands behind his word, not you and me. But if I am his word, by virtue of the Holy Spirit, then he will back me up. You believe that this morning? I told you it'd be kind of hard to take. It is hard. Yeah. But you'll be foretold I believe it's going to happen. I believe like Noah, we're going to sit in a very dark ark. And like Abraham, when it's too late, by what people might say, we're still going to believe, and by faith, we're going to make it. The squeeze has not even come down yet, brothers. But I believe when it comes, we'll be ready. And I believe that this message that does it. And not because I'm preaching it. God forbid that I make this statement. But I really believe that this kind of preaching is going to take us through. Because I believe with all my heart it's what the prophet of God said. And I cannot see it any way except scripture by scripture as it comes out from the word. The Lord bless you. May you have a good dinner. And this afternoon come back. Refreshed. May we have a good service this afternoon. But I want to bring you one more message. One of his. Shall we rise? Then, Brother Gunther, this is your Heavenly Father. I want to thank you now for this attentive people that I believe understood very clearly what was said and will hold in their hearts, O God, to see if it's exactly right. For, Lord, knowing that they have the Holy Spirit, they'll be able to judge absolutely. There'll be no problem. They will know because the sheep hear the voice. Father like son, there'll be no problem. And now, Lord, I thank you by faith that the spirit of the enemy was not here amongst us and therefore could not take from any of us the truth of the word of God. Waiting only now, Lord, for the complete revelation which will give us this tremendous rest that we know the prophet had because he knew, thus saith the Lord, and we're on our way to it too. Grant, Lord, that this bride may come to that rest where she knows that she knows that she knows because she is the Word, because she has the Word, and knows what to do with, and just like that Holy Spirit will be automatically in our lives what he is, so she will be Adam automatically what she is, which will be that revealed word. Lord, I know that's coming. And this is what my heart's cry, Lord, has been ever since I was born again. I only pray I can be here when it happens. But if I'm not, Lord, I pray I'll be in that first resurrection.
And together, Lord, when the saints go marching home, rank upon rank, tier upon tier, we'll be rising into the glorious realm, not that we're looking for a wedding supper and looking for millennium, although that's fine. We're looking to see Jesus. The man that made it all possible through God his Father. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory, for he is worthy. Through Jesus Christ, amen. God bless you.